The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a great joy for me to be here this morning and fellowship with you people. And I must say that you are wonderful people. And receive many greetings from my wife and children and all the team of API Kenya. We all love you in Jesus' name. And looking back over 1.5 years since we last came to the U.S., and particularly the day that Pastor Mike and his team prayed for us in this church. We thank God for many things that have happened. And I cannot forget how much you have partnered with us morally in prayer and also financially as we passed through the trials in our country that was rocking our country into pieces. The Lord was so faithful. He protected us. He helped us so much. We lost so much, particularly families lost their family members. People lost their properties. And right now we have thousands of families that are displaced, living in the tents. I remember Derby calling me nearly every day, asking me if we are safe and how we are doing. And on one particular day, I couldn't tell him exactly what it was, but that just on that day, a young man came to our home in the afternoon. We gave him a place to sit, and he bowed his head and started crying. We asked him why, and he said, "Pastor, things are not good. And just because I love you and I know you people, I would wish that you get away from this place, run for your lives. Otherwise, there is a plan that you will be attacked this evening." My daughter was seated there, and she started crying. And everything just came into a standstill. My family was confused. We didn't know what to do. And within a moment, my wife looked at me and said, she always calls me by my ministry, Pastor. She said, "Pastor, what are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know." And she said again, "Don't you care?" I said, "I do, but where do we go?" She said, "I think we need to run away to the town center to find a place to hide. Otherwise, I don't think it will be a good thing for us to spend a night here anymore." So I allowed them to do the packing. But as they were doing the packing, my question to them was, "How much are you going to carry? Because there's no vehicle." I mean, everything was in a standstill. There were no moving vehicles. There was just nothing. We looked at everything in the house and said, "Maybe the documents, the best documents, or, you know, our children's certificates could be the only things that we could carry." And as they were packing those things in their handbags, I thought to myself and I whispered to God, I said, "God, I don't think I will leave this place. I just want to remain." And my wife came after she was ready with our children. She looked at me seated on a sofa, and she said, "But are you not going? You seem like you're not going anywhere, and things are not good." I said, "I think you can go. I am not going. I'll wait for them. I want to see how much they will do." And with tears rolling through her cheeks, she said, "I'm confused. Should we go? Or should we remain?" I said, "You better go." And as she was walking out with our daughters and our three sons were just waiting for them outside there, then one of my sons asked Rachel, where is Dad? And Rachel said, your dad has refused to go. He has decided to remain behind. And my two sons looked at one another, and one of them said, if Dad is not going, we are not going. And if he's attacked, we will defend him. And if he dies, we want to die with him in this place. We're not going. And I remember that night as we were waiting for that attack. A few hours later, Derby called. How are things over there? As usual, I would say, it's fine. But mentally, we were struggling with everything that was going on. But I remember just that night when it was getting dark, I went to my room. I really prayed fervently before the Lord. And I told him, I want to anoint this compound, this place, with oil by faith. There's nothing special about oil, but I want to believe that by me anointing every point in this compound, you will give us a protection. So I went around anointing every place, the fences and the buildings and just everything, speaking the word of protection. And that night, of course, we never slept with my sons. God protected us, and that night passed. The following day, I remember my wife at about 12 in the midnight, she called. Are you still alive? I said, yes, we are still alive. And early in the morning, she couldn't wait. By about 8, she was at home, just to be sure that we were safe. And all in all, God was very, very faithful. And I must say thank you very much for the prayers that you offered and also for the finances, because we desperately needed even that, because everything just skyrocketed in terms of prices and things were not even there. Shops had been looted and any commodity you would find, the price had gone by maybe 2-3 times higher. And it was such an attempting, or rather it was such a trial moment. But the Lord was very, very faithful, and we thank God for that. And also together with that, I want to thank God that 1.5 years ago, as I look back, I can see that the Lord has done wonderful things. Between this time, we've been able to see God's work grow. When we were here, API Kenya had three churches, and as I talk to you today, we have 5 more churches added to the API. So we have 8 churches in total, and the Lord is doing a great job. Right now, we are excited to put up a primary school, which we've just been allowed to do after struggling and waiting and longing with anxieties about the whole thing. The Lord has been faithful, and now we can do that. And more so, we thank God because API Kenya, we are seeing the Lord unfolding many things that we have been praying and we had waited upon the Lord in prayer for many years. God has been faithful, and we believe that He will continue to be very faithful in His provision to make this dream come true. And once again, I want to say, I believe your prayer and your partnership with us has done a great challenge and a great change in our lives, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Now, I want us to share the Word of God, and we are going to read from Proverbs 31. Now, Proverbs 31, I'm going to share from verse 10. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. And I know I have preached this message in different places, but mostly I have been preaching in weddings. And today, this is not a wedding day, but still I want to preach from the same message, Proverbs 31, reading from verse 10. Now the Bible says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portion for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate when he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you because of this opportunity that you've given me to share this word. And I pray that, Father, you will speak to us through this word. And that, Father, by the anointing of your Holy Spirit, you will make me a vessel that will be a blessing to everyone that hears this message. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A message about a virtuous wife. And in the new version, in the new international version, the Bible says noble character. As you read the verse, particularly verse 10, you can easily imagine a situation in which this person is looking for this wonderful wife. And according to the way he asks of how possible this person can be found, it is true that this person must have worked hard for a long time looking for the best wife. And as I read these scriptures, it reminds me of our culture. When one wants to get married, there are things that one has to think about and do. One among them is to look for the best. And for us, when we are looking for one to marry, we are not physically looking at how one is, but we look at one's character. And therefore, what happens in our culture is that you will engage people, your friends, your relatives, neighbors, to help you look for the best. And there are some qualifications that young people look for in our culture. And among them, and the best one of them, is that this lady that one wants to marry must be a hard-working lady. This lady must be strong enough that when she goes to the field for cultivating or digging, because we use our hands to dig, she is not lazy. She can work for long hours. We look at other things like her relationship with her parents. If she has good relationships with her parents, with her brothers and sisters, then we are sure that when she is married to a new family, she will keep that relationship. The reasons are that when a lady is married into a family, that lady is adopted into that family. That lady becomes part and parcel in that family. And therefore, they look for somebody that can easily get along with the rest of the family. Now, the writer here talks and asks a question: a wife of a noble character, who can find her? I believe it is because among many wives and women around, there is only one that can fit the qualifications of the young men that would want to marry. And therefore, as I look through the scriptures, I find this man putting a very high standard of the kind of a woman that he was looking to marry. He talks of a woman whose husband has a full confidence in. He talks of a woman who brings good and not harm all the days of her life in the family. He talks of a woman who selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. He talks of a woman that is like the merchant ship, bringing her food from afar off. He talks of a woman that gets up while it is yet dark, and she provides food for her family and portion of her servant girls. He talks of a woman that considers a field and buys it. He talks of a woman that sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. He talks of a woman that sees that her trading is profitable and that her lamp does not go out at night. These are wonderful, wonderful qualifications that this man is looking in a woman that he would want to live with, a woman that he would enjoy and feel proud to live with. And therefore, he continues by saying that he's looking for a woman who opens up her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. A woman that makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. And interestingly, in verse 23, the Bible says that this man is looking for a woman whose husband is respected at the city gate when he takes his seat among the elders of the land. I mean, as I go through these scriptures, I kind of connect it with how the culture that this person was writing this message on, in comparison with a culture that, for example, I'm coming from, where when men sit together, they would want to talk about their homes. They would want to talk about their families, their children, their wives in particular. And many times, if a husband has a noble-charactered woman, then that husband is respected in that family. Now, in our culture, there are things like, for example, if somebody wants to look for a job or a responsibility, or somebody wants to be given a leadership in a community, in a village, some of the things that they consider is how his family is, and if that family, if the wife in that family is of the character that they would feel comfortable after giving this man a responsibility of leadership. And therefore, as I was reading these scriptures, this is what I believe the Lord is telling us from these scriptures. It's not different from what the Bible talks about, John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son Jesus to become a bride, to become the bridegroom that is looking for a bride. And the Bible talks of Jesus being our bridegroom and the church being the bride. And therefore, Jesus is looking for a bride, a church that is and has the qualities that he, as Jesus, as the bridegroom, will enjoy to live together with. And therefore, I look at this woman in the eyes of a church. And when I look at the church today, I know that we have many churches, many denominations, leave alone religions that are in the world. And I believe that when Jesus is just about coming as a bridegroom to take the bride for his marriage in heaven, as according to the book of Revelation, Jesus, I believe, is delaying to come because he is looking for a bride that he can be proud of. He is looking for a bride, and in this regard, a church that will stand up with the qualities, some of which I want to share with you this morning. Among the qualities that Jesus is looking for in a church as his bride is that he is looking for a church that he, Jesus, has a full confidence in her. And when the Bible talks, or in the scripture as we read about a wife or a woman in who the husband has a full confidence, it reminds me of a story in the Bible of Job, a man that lived and walked before God in integrity, a man that lived with the consciousness of God to the point that whenever he had any doubt about a relationship between him and God and his family, he would make a sacrifice on behalf of his family so that his family is counted holy before the Lord. The Bible talks about his character and how much he walked right before the Lord. And one day the Bible talks about Satan giving a challenge to God by telling him that this man, Job, is only loving him because of the material things that he had. This was a challenge. But you know, the Bible talks of God talking to Satan, and he allows him to go and tempt Job. What was the reason behind God allowing Satan to tempt Job? The reason was just that simple, that he had a full confidence in Job. He knew that Job would stand in situations, in hard times, in all the sufferings and the pains that he would go through, Job was able to stand. And therefore, God had a confidence in Job. I believe this is the place that also God is looking for a church, the church in which he has confidence in, a church that can go through trials, a church that can go through hardships, a church that can pass through sufferings and still stand, and that God can talk to Satan face to face, telling him of how much full confidence he has in that church. We are living in the times that the Bible is talking about trials and temptations and sufferings that are soon going to come to the church. And I believe that God has allowed a situation like that to happen to the church because he has a confidence, or rather he has a full confidence in the church. Now, when we talk about having full confidence in the church, then we are talking of a situation where when Jesus looks at the faith of the church, our trust in him, then he is sure and he knows that we can stand in every situation. And therefore, as this man says, a wife of noble character, who can find him? I believe Jesus is looking for a noble character of a church that he can have a full confidence in. The second quality of this virtuous church or wife of Jesus Christ is in the verse 13 and verse 14. Now, 13 and verse 17, where the quality number two is a church that is vigorously working for him. The Bible says that God in Jesus Christ, when he came, he spoke to the church. I mean, he moved from one village to another, from one city to the other. And the day came that Jesus was going to leave this world. And therefore, he gathered his disciples together. And he told them, go ye therefore into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is a church that must be a working church. God has called us to go out. Yes, I know sometimes we would want to feel like we are not able and we cannot do as so and so. God has given us different abilities. He has given us different talents. He has given us different, he has given us grace in the measure of our faith. And in whatever ability that God has given you, he expects you as a church, as his bride to be a hard-working church. Jesus talked to his disciples in John chapter 9 and verse 4, where he said, I must do the works of him who sent me while it is yet day, for the night comes where no man can work. Jesus is looking for a working church, a church that is ready to sacrifice its time, to sacrifice its resources in order to do the work of God. We know that we have been given a short time to live. And with the time that God has given us, God expects us to do something for him. We are representing him, and therefore our representation goes together with what we can do for him. And this is where, as a church, we need to ask ourselves, what can we do for the Lord? What is the Lord calling me to do? Because I believe that each one of us is called. We have a general calling in which all of us have been saved. But also we have, I believe, specific callings of different things that we can do for God in our time. It is time for us to look at ourselves and have time with God to know exactly what we can do for God. And I believe that whatever we shall do and whatever we are doing for the Lord in obedience and in us, you know, presenting ourselves as a bride that Jesus is going to be proud of, I believe that we shall have a testimony to tell of what the Lord has enabled us to do. Therefore, Jesus is looking for a bride, is looking for one that is ready to work vigorously with all that one has to do in working for the Lord. Quality number four is that Jesus is looking for a church that is generous to the needy and the poor. As we can read in verse 20, where the Bible says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. I thank God because we are living in a situation where Jesus talked to Judas Iscariot and other disciples. You remember the story of a woman that came to Jesus and poured all the fragrance on Jesus' feet. And as she was wiping them away, the disciples were disturbed because that was an expensive thing that should not have been wasted in that way. And the Bible says that Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, she rebuked them and she said that you will always have poor with you, but you will not have the Son of Man with you all the time. I know that we are living in a world that has challenges when it comes to the question of poverty. And surely the world is talking about how to eradicate poverty. Internationals are having board meetings and meetings day after day, trying to find solutions of eradicating poverty in the world. Yes, we are talking about the Western world that is sitting every other time talking about eradication of poverty. We know that politicians are taking advantage of poverty by giving high promises, wonderful promises of how much they are going to improve the lives of people. In our country, after every 5 years, you would hear politicians talk of how much they would want to improve the lives of people. And in most cases, you will realize that politicians take advantage over the disadvantaged, the poor. Jesus said, we will always have the poor with us. And therefore, regardless of how much we can do, we will always face the challenges of the needy and the poor around us. And with that, I believe that it is intended for them to see the love of God, to see the care of God as people stretch their arms towards them by providing them. And so the Bible says that this virtuous woman has the qualities of stretching her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. I thank God that God is leading the church to a position that it is getting concerned about the lives and the standards of people's lives all over the world. And I believe and I know that many things that are happening today in the world, it is because of the church. You talk about history of how education came into existence, you will always attach it to the church. You talk about health services around the world, you will always connect it with the church. At least somebody somewhere felt the need of bringing education to the communities, to the people around. At least somebody in the church had a burden to help the sick and the suffering. And therefore Jesus, through the sick and the suffering, through the needy and the poor, wants to make himself known by his love. And that's why he has put up a church, and he's looking for a church that can represent him, that can be representing him in stretching forth their hands to the poor. In the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 34, the Bible talks of the first church. And this is how St. Luke is giving a report about the first church. Acts chapter 4 and verse 34. The Bible says, there were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone as he had need. Jesus is touched by the need of the poor. And you read through the Bible, you would find that God's heart beats when it comes to the question of people's livelihood. Not only is Jesus looking for a church that is generous to give to the needy and the poor, but quality number 4 is that Jesus is looking for a church that can lift him up. Jesus is looking for a church that can lift him up. In verse 23 of Proverbs 31, the Bible says, her husband is respected at the city gate when he takes his seat among the elders of the land. This one cannot be far from what Jesus said. If the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. God is looking for a church that can represent him, a church that can glorify him, a church that can lift him up so that he draws all men to himself. I know that many of the challenges that we face as Christians is that we would want to put all efforts, our human efforts, in showing how much we are different because of Christ in our lives, so that people can admire, so that people can be influenced by our lives. That is a good attitude. But do you know that we as human beings, we are weak? The Bible says, the more I want to do good, the more I find myself doing bad. Why? Because the Bible says we are struggling and we are in the world that is of sin. There is only one way that can enable us to lift Jesus in our lives, and that is by acknowledging that without him we can do nothing. Without Jesus, our lives are hopeless. Without Jesus, we have no strength. And therefore, the only thing that we can do is to lift him up higher. That is what he said in John chapter 12 and verse 32. If the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. What I'm saying to the church today is that amongst all the churches that we have in the world today, Jesus is looking for a quality church. Jesus is looking for a church that he will present before God on the wedding day, or on the marriage day, or on the marriage on the day of marriage in heaven, where the Bible says that it will be a marriage of the Lamb of God. My dear brothers and sisters, we are living in a world that we need to represent Jesus Christ as his church, that when he looks at our lives, he will be proud to say, this is my church. And therefore, what are we supposed to do? We need to understand that it is not by our own doing, it is not by our own struggling, that we can be the kind of church that Jesus is looking for. Because the Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 5, that without me, you can do nothing. My dear friends, there are people in life that have struggled to change themselves. There are people that have sacrificed their time. There are people that have, you know, there are people that have tried to sacrifice whatever they have in order to show the world that they are different. Say, for example, somebody who is a drunkard. You would find this person struggling to avoid drinking, and he does it in many ways. But always you will hear this some person talk about how much he has tried to change his life, but he always finds himself doing the same thing. Just as Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 7. And therefore, we cannot change ourselves by ourselves. That is, we cannot improve our lives by ourselves. We can only improve our lives if we depend upon Jesus Christ, if we surrender our lives to him, if we know that without him, we can do nothing. Why am I saying that? It is because Jesus said it, and because Jesus knows our weaknesses, and it's because Jesus is the one that is forming his church, the church that has no blame, the church that has no wrinkle, the church that is holy before him. My prayer is that God will find us become, or rather, God will find us as that church that he will be proud of our lives. That he will find us as a church that he will have confidence in us. So much so that even when the enemy, the devil, would want to challenge him because of us, because of our lives, because of what we do, Jesus can still say that he has confidence in our lives. And that is the church that Jesus is looking for. It is my prayer that God will create in us the desire to wait upon him, to be shaped and to be made, to be molded according to his plans and according to his will, so that we become the kind of church that he can look up and say, yes, this is the church that I paid for. What am I saying? I believe Jesus dying on the cross, it was because of paying the price. And you can easily say that that was a dowry that was paid for our marriage with him in heaven. And that price is so expensive. It is so costly that it cannot be measured. My elder brother lost his wife about a year ago. And just a few days ago, he called me and he said that he was planning to get married again. And as we were talking with him, this is what he told me. Because in our culture, when you want to get married and you have identified a lady, then you send your parents to go to the lady's family to negotiate the dowry. So my father was sent to negotiate the dowry. And do you know what my brother told me on the phone? He said, my father and his team went for negotiation. And believe me not, the quotation they gave was that I should pay 200,000 Kenya shillings and 15 cows. And you know, that shocked me. I said, are you ever going to get married any day if that is the much you're going to pay and you don't have anything? He said, no, I'm going to get married because my parents did a lot of work in negotiating and bargaining until they came to an agreement. And then I asked him, why did they ask for so much? And this is what he said. You know, the lady that I'm going to marry happened to have lived in Britain for 5 years, and therefore her qualities have gone high for her to be paid so much. I said, ah, that's terrible. Now, what I'm saying is, Jesus has paid the price for us to become his bride, the bride that he can be proud of. And the much that he has paid, none can pay it. And it is us to appreciate what he, Jesus, has paid for us. And it is for us to walk and wait for him to come, that on his day of coming, he will look at us and say, yes, you are worth what I paid for. And do you know what I believe? I believe that 2,000 years have gone since Jesus left this world purposely, because he is looking for that lady. He is looking for that bride. That bride is not just easily found. That bride cannot just be picked from any among others. That bride must be looked for. That bride must be paid for. And therefore, we, as his bride, should consider ourselves to be so precious that it has costed Jesus not only his life, but it has costed Jesus his time over 2,000 years waiting for that bride to be qualified enough so that when it is presented before God the Father, he will say, well done for the good job that you've done. Can we bow our heads and pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to bless you for paying the price for our salvation and for paying the price for our position to become the bride. And Father, we thank you that with all the qualifications that we can read from the book of Proverbs, Father, we cannot get these qualifications by our own doings. We can only find them in you, Lord. For it is you that will strengthen us. It is you that will form us. It is you that will mold us and make us be and have the qualifications in which you shall be proud of. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will continue to mold us, that you will continue to transform our lives, making us be the kind that you are looking for. We thank you for loving us this much. And thank you, Lord, for making us be what you want us to be. We give you all the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. We invite you to visit our website at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us. You can call us at 253-531-1672. Our mailing address is 3714 East 84th Street, Tacoma, Washington, 98446.